Here's a number to think about when you combine clean energy, energy efficiency, and vehicle emissions policies in Oregon. It prevented almost 4 million metric tons of carbon pollution just in the year 2012 alone, and that's about the equivalent of a little more than 800,000 cars. Joining us today from Environment Oregon is Charlie Fisher, a field organizer for them. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And I understand you have a new report out entitled Moving America Forward. Share a little bit of the contents of that report with us.
Yeah, well, I think what you just said is probably the most interesting thing in the report, which is that when you combine our clean energy, our energy efficiency, and then vehicle emissions policies, we are reducing a huge amount of carbon emissions every single year. To the tune of more than 3.9 million metric tons in 2012. And that's making significant cuts in our contribution to global warming. That being said, there's still much more that we can do in the state and then on the federal level to really, get where we need to be to stop global warming.
Is this more a matter of policy change by the state and federal government and laws, or are people becoming more aware? Do we know how successful we are with the different programs?
Well, our report looked at the policies in place in Oregon and federally. Another good byproduct, I would say, of implementing these things is that more people hear about them and more people see them, and that can't hurt. But the largest part of our report is looking at policies that are at the state and federal level.
And I think some people don't realize that I noticed as I went through some of this information that, of course, the Environmental Protection Agency does limit certain types of pollution, especially that comes out of power plants, but not everything, and including carbon pollution. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's pretty outrageous that carbon pollution doesn't have a single regulation on the federal level. But the good news is the EPA actually proposed regulations on new power plants, on carbon emissions from new power plants back in September, and they're expected to be putting out a rule for existing power plants in June. If both of these go through, and we think they will, that would be a huge first step in tackling global warming. In fact, if you look at just the 50 dirtiest power plants in America, they put out more carbon emissions than the total output of all but six nations in the world. So pretty significant amount.
How soon would these new regulations go into effect?
Yeah, so when they are proposed, they have to be go through a process to get them finalized. That'll probably happen in 2016. so we're looking at around 2020 to be when the rules would be actually implemented.
There's a number of incentives also out there, I guess, for corporations to participate and to reduce their carbon footprint, tax mm-hmm. credits and things like that. Have those been very effective so far?
Can you give me an example? I can.
Well, I know there have been tax credits, I believe, for energy-efficient appliances automobiles and different things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, one of the biggest contributors to our reduction in emissions, energy efficiency measures, largely through the Energy Trust of Oregon, which is a statewide organization that is tasked with helping businesses and individuals invest in energy-efficient technologies that reduce their carbon emissions.
I got $40 for my old refrigerator, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, right? There you go.
I'm wondering how fast wind and solar are being implemented. I heard, talks about large-scale projects, especially in the Midwest, and then that seemed to back off a little bit. What's the latest status on wind and solar?
Yeah, well, the first answer I would say is certainly not fast enough. We're doing a good job in Oregon, but still we only have about 5% of our energy from wind power. And a big part of that is federal policy. There's a tax credit that is a huge boon to wind development that has, in the past couple of years, just been held up, just like everything else has in Congress due to the gridlock there. And when you look at the years when it's called the production tax credit, is not renewed, there's just a huge drop in the total amount of wind energy that is start to be built, and then it just creates a lot of uncertainty in the market that prevents that big step that we need to really get where we need to be for clean energy.
All right, we have a call from Pam in Dexter. Go ahead, Pam.
Hi. Well, first of all, I just want to say it's really important that we do some really quick action on carbon, on global warming, and lowering our carbon footprint. Guy McPherson was in Eugene a few weeks ago. His blog is Nature Bats Last. He's a climate scientist, and he actually thinks it's too late. So he's on one extreme, it's too late, and then there's the other scientists who say, you know, we have until, like, 2020 to drastically reduce our carbon footprint. And my question is Oregon working on, since we have some of the best carbon sequestering forests in the world, we're one of the top 10, on changing our forest logging policies so that we don't clear cut and we potentially get paid for the carbon we sequester, because it seems like it's a win-win. As our forests are drying and the droughts are continuing, the last thing we should be doing is cutting the forest because they retain water. And another fact I had heard, if we had lowered the speed limit to 55 miles an hour in the U.S. alone, we would save about 1 billion gallons of gasoline a year from being burned. So we could do some really simple low-hanging fruit, like lower the speed limit. And I know people are like, oh, I could never drive 55 miles an hour. But if you look at what could potentially happen with climate change, that would be the least of our problems. So, but, yeah, I'm really curious about getting paid to not cut our forests for the carbon they sequester.
All right,
that
Pam.
Would drastically change our forest policies in that direction.
Thanks for your question. And let's talk to Charlie about that. What about that?
Well, it sounds like a very interesting idea. You know, obviously, we work on a broad range of issues. Protecting our forests is one of them. But at least not that I know of, there is anything in the works to get a policy like that on the books.
We are speaking with Charlie Fisher, a field organizer for Environment Oregon. If you have a question, you can give us a call, 800-838-3760, here in the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782, or you can send us a question by email to jx@jeffnet.org. A number of states have adopted some different policies to try to reduce their carbon footprint.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any examples of what some of the states are doing that maybe Oregon might want to take a look at as well?
Yeah, certainly. Well, I would say that one of the policies that you see in most of the states that have seen decreases, or at least progress in reducing carbon emissions, is what we have, which is a renewable electricity standard. The one here in Oregon mandates that by 2025, major utilities will be getting 25% of their energy from clean sources. So that's a huge policy already. But then one interesting thing is in the Northeast, they have this regional greenhouse gas initiative where they have, as a region, decided to regulate carbon emissions and create a market that will, you know, allow for people to really figure out smart ways to reduce their, businesses to reduce their carbon emissions. And, you know, getting something like that, and then also ramping up, you know, solar at the state level, those are two huge things that we could do that would really significantly reduce our greenhouse gas emissions.
California has, of course, taken a lead in trying to reduce emissions from mm-hmm. automobiles, and
yep.
several other states have, too. It seems like California's got the lion's share of the media on that. How does Oregon compare?
Yeah, well, actually, you know, we were one of the states that started the Clean Cars program that the federal government, actually the EPA, recently moved forward at the federal level. So we're, if you look at the report, you know, the amount of emissions that we've reduced in Oregon as a result of the Clean Cars program is just over 0.4 million metric tons. So while California may get more press, we're still doing a pretty good job.
Does that come from tighter standards on automobiles or people driving less or the introduction of, for example, hybrid cars? Do we have a good sense of that mix?
Yeah, well, our report looked at the impact of the, you know, the Clean Cars program specifically, but there are also so many different things that people can do, you know, implementing zero or low emissions vehicles, raising the standards for emissions and for mileage. So there are quite a few things that people can do, but our report looks at just at the Clean Cars program.
Oregon is, of course, one of those states where you have a tightly packed, dense population, especially up in the Willamette Valley.
Yep.
And you get farther out to the east and the south, and you end up with a lot of rural areas, farms and ranches. Are there different approaches that folks can take? You know, if you live in Portland, you may be able to bike to work. That may not be so easy if you live in eastern Oregon.
Right.
What can people in rural areas do?
Huh, that's a good question. Well, you know, one of the great things about Oregon is that we have so much open space, especially on the eastern side of the mountains. And there's so much potential there for solar development, for more wind development, and generating power there instead of getting it from dirty power plants that are in other states even, I think is a great way for people all across the state to be able to reduce their reliance on carbon-based fuel and power and switch to clean energy solutions.
Our caller a little bit earlier alluded to the fact that some people are very pessimistic about the future and other folks a little bit more optimistic. Where does your organization lie? Do you think we're doing a pretty good job, or at least we're making some progress? How do you folks feel about that?
Well, we're certainly making some progress, but there is just so much more that we need to do. The first step is to start regulating these carbon emissions from power plants, which are the single largest contributor to global warming in the country. If we can do that, that's going to put us on a path towards doing even more. We certainly are not doing enough now, but we have the. I think the takeaway from our report is that we have the technologies that we need to power our entire country exclusively on clean energy, and we just need to push from the federal government and better policies at the state level to get us there.
I'll kind of ask you to elaborate on this in two different areas.
Sure.
Recommendations from your organization, both looking at a policy level, which would be mostly federal, but could also apply to the state of Oregon as well.
Yep.
And then maybe some recommendations you might have for individuals, what people can do to reduce their carbon footprint.
Certainly. So policies at the federal level. Like I said, I think the biggest one right now is cutting down on carbon pollution from dirty power plants. Like I said, if you look at just the 50 dirtiest power plants in the country, those account for more carbon emissions than the total output of all but six nations in the world. So simply regulating those would make a huge impact on our overall carbon emissions. And then obviously we need comprehensive climate legislation at the federal level down the road. And we think that that's something that obviously isn't going to happen in the next couple of years, but we're working here in Oregon and across the country to build up the public support and demonstrate that to our elected officials to make sure that they know acting on climate makes sense for them and makes sense for the country. And then on an individual level, there's so many things that people can do, you know, whether it's getting in touch with the Energy Trust of Oregon to increase their the energy efficiency of their home, what I would suggest is calling their elected officials and telling them that they want more solar, they want more wind, and that they want their elected officials to put the policies in place that are going to get us there.
Bill is on the line from Eugene with a question. Go ahead, Bill.
Thanks for having me. I'm just really appalled by what I see with the government and our cars and our gas usage. I mean, I lived through the 80s when the speed limit was 55 because of gas embargo or the late 70s. A lot of people are alive today because they didn't get killed in car accidents. We saved tons of energy. And and how we can drive all these huge SUVs all around, and the motor companies got them to classify them as cars and not trucks, which they really are, so they don't have to have the high mileage related to them. And as far as driving 55, I've done it for years. I save tons of gas. And I think a simple way we could do it is just say, if you want to drive 55, you have to buy a special little tag you put on your windshield. Maybe a cop could pick it up on radar or something when you're speeding by. If you don't, you get hit with a heavy fine. And that would give us all that money to drive faster than 55, like 65 on the freeways. And they could use that to buy more bike trails and make the place, you know, better mass transit, probably. it's, you know, there's so many answers, but it's just big business and the corruption and people falling like sheep to big business and what they sell us. That's all.
All right, thanks for calling. Charlie, where are we with automobile standards?
Well, as you may have heard, the President Obama a couple years ago announced really bold vehicle standards that are going to do a lot to reduce vehicle emissions. But I think one interesting thing that the caller just said is he is absolutely right that special interests like the fossil fuel industry are doing everything they can to stop us from acting on climate. And it's sad because, you know, they could in the future probably figure out a business model that would make them a lot of money in transition to clean energy. But what we're doing is making sure that our elected officials know that the public is with us on stopping global warming, that the consequences of global warming are going to be so devastating, looking at, you know, worse wildfires, more drought, more flooding as well, that we just can't let special interests dictate to our country our climate policy and what we need to do for the future of America.
Are there any legislation pending in Oregon regarding reducing carbon footprint?
Not pending at the moment. We have an idea that we should get 10% of our energy from the sun by 2025. So we've been building up a head of steam behind that in Oregon, and something that we'll be talking to legislators about in 2015. And then at the federal level, you know, not much of anything is happening in Congress legislatively. But luckily, EPA, through the Clean Air Act, does have authority to regulate carbon emissions. So we're really happy to see that they're doing that, and we encourage them to continue moving forward on that.
In the short time we have left, one quick recommendation that you would like to see everybody do.
I would like everybody to write their state and federal officials, if they are speaking out positively about global warming, thanking them, and if they aren't, asking them to do it, and asking them to do it right now, because this is such an important issue and we have to act on it now.
All right, thank you much. We've been talking with Charlie Fisher, a field organizer for Environment Oregon. It's about a new report on clean energy and global warming in Oregon. Thanks for joining us, Charlie, on The Exchange today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Coming up next in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to take a look at prescription drug abuse and what's being done to treat it in Southern Oregon. That's ahead, coming up on the Jefferson Exchange.